How are you feeling this week?
I'm Grinchy.
Ooh.
I'm feeling like a Grinch today, Bill.
Hungry dogs hunt. Yes, they do. Hungry dogs hunt.
As you see the way that he was treated, and it's disgusting. It is disheartening. And there really should be no reason for police officers to behave in that manner, right?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Jason and OC podcast brought to you by 888 Sport and Lazy Boy, the official partners of the NFL UK and Ireland. OC, how are you feeling this week?
Grinchy.
Ooh.
I'm feeling like a Grinch day, Bell.
That means this episode is going to be spicy. So let's kick it off with Game of the Week. Here's our Game of the Week, brought to you by Lazy Boy. OC, let's go.
Here we go. Houston Texans at the Indianapolis Colts. AR Anthony Richardson missed most of last year with an injury. Look at him come back. What a throw, J-Bell. What a rocket to Alec Pierce.
Alec Pierce, who had 125 yards on the day. This man can play. And what a throw by AR. You see him celebrating because they deserve it. OC, this play. Watch AR in the backfield. Drop back and look at him. Cool, command, control in the pocket, delivering over two defenders. OC, look at him outrun that. That's a way to start the game.
Oh, they couldn't run, J-Bell. That's what they told me. They told me that they couldn't run.
But they got the wrong one, buddy.
Yes, they did. Not to be outdone, Houston Texans QB CJ Stroud with the play action fake, and look at him launch one to Nico Collins, J-Bell.
Nico Collins with over 100 yards on the day, and this is what we call climbing the ladder, going up high point. The ball, coming down with it, celebrating, letting them know he can do it. Also, look at this speed, OC. Look at this stride. This man can go.
Outruns two defenders, has to come back, make an adjustment to the ball. What a great football play by Nico Collins.
A lot of trust from his quarterback.
Absolutely. And here we go. Still in the second quarter, CJ Stroud, new acquisition, Stephon Diggs on a slant route, J-Bell.
It's amazing the chemistry these two guys have already. He comes through in the red zone, where it's tight space, he delivers. Look at this. Look at the timing. Right on the forward shoulder so he can run in the end zone. Touchdown. And it
gives Houston an fast forward to the fourth quarter. Houston up by two. They're going to give the ball to Joe Mixon from the Cincinnati Bengals now with the Houston Texans, and he's just going to run right through the ball and tackle J-Bell.
And he deserves to celebrate because this guy averaged over 5 yards a carry throughout the game. He was dominant. This is what they needed. A running back that can see, has vision, has the ability to get in and out of defenders and score a touchdown. Joe Mixon, a great acquisition.
Shout out to the offensive line there, man, making those holes, sealing the edges, making cop blocks. Fantastic by the O-line. Still in the fourth quarter, Indianapolis down 9 points, trying to make a comeback, and AR showing off some outstanding arm talent here, finding Ashton Dullin. I was going to call him Ashton Dillon. But Ashton Dullin, what a great play. Look at this, J-Bell.
This is exactly why they drafted Anthony Richardson. It's arm talent. It's the ability to break the game wide open. He can make every throw and make you have to cover every inch of ground. Look at him in the pocket, the movement, the subtle arm angle, and the accuracy. You see the defender diving too late, and you get a great play out of it. Touchdown.
That's turf, though. That's not grass. What would you call those things? You say every blade of grass. What would you call that on the turf? It's
every grade of
turf. Whatever. Here we go. Still in the fourth quarter. CJ Stroud. Look at him giving instructions. And guess what he's going to do? Guess where he's going to go? Out route. Stephon Diggs, J-Bell.
Great timing and rhythm throw. Once again, on the same page. This is why you brought him in. A veteran wide receiver that can break down zone coverage and can run to open space. Great throw. Great execution. Good play.
But Anthony Richardson still trying to keep Indianapolis in it. I want you to watch this play, J-Bell. Scanning, finds nobody, runs, and look at him just stiff arm in and taking everybody with me into the end zone. So strong, Jason.
Three defenders had the opportunity to take him down. This is why you want a powerful quarterback down here in the goal area, in the red zone, because if nothing's open, he can be a battling ram and take it in. Make a play
when they need it. Finally, Houston Texans, still 1 minute and 48 seconds left to go. They're going to hand the ball off to Joe Mixon, and this is is why they brought him in, because he is a finisher, J-Bell.
This is what we call four-minute offense. Can you close out the game? And to do it, you have to run the ball successfully. Joe Mixon coming through.
Houston Texans get their opening win of the season, and they are having a great time.
And those two guys deserve to celebrate because they balled out.
Well, the Colts will take the road next week to Green Bay.
What a game, OC. Those two quarterbacks did not disappoint. We get to see battles year after year between those two.
AFC South, Jay Bell, is in good hands at the quarterback position.
We had the honor with catching up with Pro Bowl safety Harrison Smith of the Minnesota Vikings on the back of his win versus our New York Giants.
Absolutely not.
What's up, my guy?
Just enjoying a little Monday.
Fresh off that win?
Yeah, it was good. Solid start.
Yeah. I want to say something, man. You know, your 13th year, six-time Pro Bowler, my man Harrison Smith. He gets his 35th interception on 4th and 8 in the red zone against my Giants, and you ruined somebody's day because he was inducted in the top 100 players for the New York Giants all time, and you wanted to kill his whole afternoon.
Harrison, I thought that you and I were cool. You know, we've seen each other a couple of times, but the disrespect, man, the disloyalty you showed. I'm over there, the top 100 Giants of all time on the football field, thinking we're going to get a win, and you guys came in there, and it wasn't a regular beatdown, an absolute hammering to the New York Giants. Man, why'd you do us like that, bro? What is that? What's that about?
It was nothing personal. We were just trying to get win number one, man. I don't know about those uniforms either.
Is that what it was? It was the uniforms?
I don't know. Might have been.
Absolutely, man. So tell us about the game, man. How was it? How did you feel out there? Your first game, 13 years. God, you're a general now. You're not even a, you know, there's levels to it, man. You're an official general on the football field, Harrison.
Yeah, even though I've played a lot of games and had a lot of game ones, it's still like that first series you go out there and you're like, oh, it's real now. Like, especially like I don't really play preseason that much in the past few years. And I was talking to Flo and he's like, how are you going to tackle? I was like, I mean, I'm just like, my body's just going to do it. I don't, it is what it is. If I can't tackle anymore, then you know it's time to move on.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of, I don't want to say it's like riding a bike because that doesn't give it the respect it deserves. But like, you know what to do when you have that many reps. It's just ingrained in me at this point.
Is it different emotions? I mean, you know, a long career. Do you feel the same every year at the beginning or has it changed?
Every year is its own. You know, I think playing in this style of defense, like last year was year one in it, and kind of my mental approach to games needed to change for me to function in it, like my role within it, as far as like checking stuff pre-snap. And like we've always done some of those things in every NFL defense, but it's just a lot more in this one. So I try to not get too hyped up, like enough to be fired up and go tackle and run, but still very like cool and aware of everything that's going on. Cause I'm kind of, if I kind of lose my cool, then things are not going to go smoothly. And so I've just kind of learned that of all the guys I need to be calm out there.
So your first round pick goes down, J.J. McCarthy. Sam Darnold comes in, does an outstanding job. But I don't want to talk about your quarterbacks. I want to talk about our quarterback, the guy who you guys absolutely demolished. Now, there was a guy, I forget, maybe one of your linebackers, and they asked him about the game, and he was just so dismissive, man. What made you guys feel so confident that Daniel Jones wasn't going to go out there and do anything against you?
So that was IP, Ivan. And honestly, he wasn't, like, if you know IP, you know, like, he wasn't even talking about the Giants. He was talking about us. Like, he's just that confident in us. So there wasn't, I know it came off that way, but he just meant, like, he's very confident in what we're doing. I mean, we played Daniel Jones 2 years ago, and he threw for 300 both times, ran for 100, like, got a playoff win against us. So, he can definitely do it. we did our thing yesterday and it went well for us, but I'm not into attacking guys and going, like, it's a hard game, man. I've been on both sides of it. Like, you know, it is what it is. And I wish him the best, to be honest.
Harry, what are you doing in your free time? I watched you get an MBA and learn how to be a pilot. What are you doing now to entertain yourself outside of the game?
Well, since then, I've had two kids. So hanging out with the wife and the kids takes most of my time, just running the house. I like to golf quite a bit now, so that's really what I do in my free time outside of the family. Little things here and there too, in the off season, but I haven't flown in a few years. It's just, if you're gonna do it, you gotta do it a lot, and I don't have the time for it. But I'm very glad I did it. Like, I learned so much, and I really think it helped me function under pressure and communicate under pressure. And like, I'm not saying I recommend every football player go get their pilot's license, but I think as a safety, like, it actually did kind of help me in the football, in my football life as well. Just being able to be, like I was talking about, be cool and be able to function under stress and still be aware of a lot and communicate and do the whole thing, put it all together.
13 seasons at the highest level, heck of a player. I mean, one of the best safeties that we've seen. How much longer are you going to keep doing this, man? Are you one of those guys who's going to do it until the wheels fall off? Or are you one of those guys who's going to be like, you know what? I'm going to get another year, 2 years in. I still got more left in the tank, but I'm going to stop. Which one are you?
I was talking with Gilly about this the other day. You want to play 10, right? And then, and then it's like, you get there and you're like, I can still play another one, and then another one. And it kind of, if you're feeling good, you just kind of keep going with it. So I don't have any firm plans. I can still play at a high level, so I'm doing it. And I just kind of go from there. I don't put too much thought into it, to be honest, besides just focusing on the present.
One team guy or no?
Yeah, I mean, 13 in purple, like, it's kind of hard to switch it up after that.
Yeah. What do you tell the young guys? I mean, you have so much wisdom, and we know this game is all about preparation. So I know they come to you. I know they lean on you and ask for a little help and advice and guidance. What do you tell them?
It's kind of different depending on who's asking. Everybody has their own personality and style. And to me, the main thing with young guys is trying to give them tips on preparation and mindset. Because you come into the league and everybody's thinking like, oh, I'm going out there and getting a pick six. I'm going out there and, you know, it's going to be a highlight reel all day. And that's just not the reality, even for the guys that are the Hall of Fame, like the Deion Sanders, like all these guys. It's not just a career of highlights. Like, there's a lot of plays in the middle where you're just playing sound ball and doing your thing. And then when the plays come to you, you make them. So just being ready and prepared and learning how to watch film. It's, everybody comes from different places, different programs. And some guys have no understanding. Some guys are pretty well prepared. So just trying to give tips on how I watch film. You know, it could be different for a corner. You're going to focus more on your matchup and things like that. But just a way to like simplify it, so you're not just like wasting time watching hours of film and really like nothing came from it, which I think happens a lot. Which, you know, it's good you're putting in the effort, but you can be efficient about it and get, even if it's just a couple things, like it shows up on game day for a couple reps, that's a big deal.
Excellent, man. Now, you guys are coming out here to London. We can't wait to see you. We're really excited about that. You 100% didn't have to be so disrespectful yesterday. That was rude, bro. The 100 greatest Giants of all time on the field, and you guys do that.
Like, did you enjoy the day, though? Like, you know.
It was fun. It was cool. It was a good day. Great day. Thank you.
Before we go, you two have something similar about you. I remember, Harry, you talking about your eating habits before a game, right? You don't eat that much. Is that correct?
Yeah.
OC's the same way.
Yeah, couldn't. We're just going to eat the quarterback. That's it.
Yes.
That's our meal.
Would you eat a lot the day before?
Massive amounts. Yeah. Copious amounts of food the day before.
Same.
Yeah. So I the feeling of having food in my stomach, I didn't like it before I played.
No.
So I didn't do too much of that.
Yeah, that's like the hungry dogs hunt type approach.
See, that's the wisdom right there. That's what I should have learned. That's why my career wasn't as good as both of you all. Man. And Harry, I really appreciate it, man. Great friend, great player. We can't wait to see you when you come out here, and we're getting you back on.
For
appreciate
sure,
man. It, man.
Appreciate you, J-Bell.
Always, man. God.
Thanks, Josie.
All right.
Hungry dogs hunt. Yes, they do. Hungry dogs hunt. I love that interview, man.
Yeah, it was really, that's your boy, man. He's a good dude.
It is my boy, man. And he always drops a nugget, man. You can learn so much. Guys like you and him have so much knowledge because of experience. And I love how he was talking about his demeanor, how he's calm. You do that a lot for me, man. Mm. You know, as the captain of the ship, you keep things very calm. I appreciate that. Great interview. Got a lot of nuggets.
Yeah, we did get a lot of nuggets, man. But I had something that I witnessed while I was, because you know I was there.
Yeah, that's right? What's crazy about you. Really, you were at the game.
I was at the game, you know, the top 100 Giants of all time. Mm-hmm. Everybody was in attendance. LT, all the great players were there.
How did it feel being around all the guys?
I got to be honest with you, it was so cool, man. That's what I miss most, because we were just there joking, talking, having a good time. It was great to be there, to see all these great players around, and we had a really good time. Jacob.
Before you go into being there, I just want to say something to the people, man. Like, the history of the Giants, how long has this organization been?
100 years.
And you are one of the top 100 players.
Yeah.
I don't think that's talked about enough. We haven't really celebrated that enough. We should highlight that more because it says a lot about your career, what you've done, who you have been, that the fans, the people, the organization believes that of you. Your name is already in the stadium, You get to take your family and you are there forever. You are enshrined in greatness. And I just want to congratulate you on that. A lot of people see you over here doing this, but they don't understand what kind of player you were and what you did to that organization. I'm glad you went back and were able to celebrate.
I appreciate that, J-Bell. Now, there's a guy who a lot of people were hoping will eventually break into that upper echelon of Giants players, a guy by the name of Daniel Jones.
Where are we going with this?
Daniel's a great guy.
Okay.
He's an incredible, incredible person, you know, smart, heady. Didn't have his best game.
No.
Did not have his best game this past week. Mm-hmm. A lot of conversations about the four-year, $160 million contract that was given to this man, and maybe the Giants are having some buyer's remorse, right?
Yeah.
So I noticed something after the game that I thought was really, really interesting.
Okay.
Not only because of what happened, but because of the reaction. So as Daniel Jones was walking out of the stadium, right, there's a little area where fans usually stop and ask players for autographs. It's been going on forever. So as he was walking out of the stadium, they didn't stop this man to ask him for autographs. They were heckling him, like the Giants fans. They were really laying into him. They were like, Daniel, give that money back. Give us our money, blah, 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 blah.
And those were the diehards that stand there.
The diehards. And they really, really gave him a piece of their mind. Mm. And there was a lot of reaction to that. They were like, well, the fans shouldn't be acting that way. They shouldn't be behaving in that manner and all this, you know, all this type of stuff. First, I wanted to ask you how you felt about fans behaving in that manner. And then I'd give my opinion and the way I'm starting to see things, J-Bell.
Okay, so first of all, Daniel Jones has more pick six interceptions than touchdowns since he got paid.
Which is kind of crazy.
Which is wild, okay? Yeah. Now, I always believe this. There's a reason we get all the notoriety. There's a reason players get paid what they do.
Mm.
Because the fans.
Yep.
Because it's popular. Because there's so much invested into sports as far as fans are concerned.
Mm.
Lives operate around the game, especially New York Giants fans die hard. There's another side to that. We don't get all that with the repercussions of not being successful on the field.
Mm.
So fans feeling like that and expressing themselves, they should be able to do that. Because they're cheering, they're booing. That's what matters in our sport.
Mm.
It's easy for me to say that sitting in this chair. The quarterback position is difficult. I understand. This is the only thing that wins and losses are tallied to, correct? Yep. So I'm cognizant of that. But they still deserve to give that heat, especially when we look at it. We evaluate players' contracts, what they're worth. Once you get paid, OC, you have to become better because now we can't take that money and put it somewhere else. Yep. You have to now step up to the next level because you are the guy who has to take over. Whenever you got the check, we expect. When you got the check, we expect.
Yep.
You got to make plays. I'm back there looking at you come off the edge. If you don't get sacks, I'm thinking, what are we doing?
Yep.
That's our guy.
Yep.
So I understand why fans get like that. It's hard. I'm not saying it's not difficult as a player, but I don't feel sorry for him.
There we go, J-Bone. Thank you. And I have to say that in this instance, I 1,000% agree with you. 1,000%. We've been involved with football most of our lives.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Yes, we have.
There's a kind of bubble that you get placed in when you're a football player, all right? Mm-hmm. And you sometimes tend to forget the plights of the everyday people.
Fact.
Right?
Yeah.
A lot of times when you're playing for a professional team, you start to think that the owner of the team is the guy who's paying you.
Right.
That money's not coming out of his pocket.
Right. I see where you're going.
That money is coming out of the fans' pockets. They're your employer.
Pretty much.
They are realistically who is paying for your salary. And so you don't want them to be passionate. You don't want them to be invested. You don't want them to care. But guess what, Jason? If they don't care, all of this collapses. Everything.
Think about when an owner is trying to renegotiate a deal. And he goes, well, if I don't sign OC back for a big deal, these fans are going to destroy me. The fear and the repercussion of the response of the fans makes owners do contracts they might not necessarily want to do.
There we go. And so we've sat there in meetings, you know, when we didn't play a good game and we've listened to the coach just berate. I'm talking about go in and we just sit there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right.
Just taking it on the chin.
I ain't paying you. You know what I mean? So the fans, when you go out there, especially in a time like that.
Yeah.
Top 100 Giants, the best players in the organization.
That's the embarrassing part.
Right there on the field, you have these fans who have the entire offseason have put all their hopes, their dreams, their spare time, they put that into this game. And then you go out there and perform like that? Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Let them rain hellfire down on me. Rain that, J-Bell, because ultimately, even though they're going to rain that hellfire down on me, as they should, mm-hmm. I'm still going to hop in my Lamborghini. I'm still going to do that. I'm going to hop in my Bentley and, you know, I'm going to go to Tao and I'm going to eat at the finest restaurant. That brief period of time, they have every single right to let me have it. And they did the right thing. No, fans should not just sit by idly as you go out there and perform like that. No, I disagree with that.
Yeah, you're right. I'm thinking about watching a play or looking at a movie, right? You go in and you're disappointed by the actors or the cast. You just don't go back, right?
Yeah.
Or you say, I'm not going to watch a film from this person anymore.
Mm.
These fans are fans of organizations, teams, of the NFL as a whole. So they have to look at the players, right? We are promoting players now. That's what people are doing. They're following players. If you're not performing, the heat is coming. It's just how it is.
Yep.
So something else happened in the news this week. We always say the NFL storylines always come.
Mm.
And if you haven't seen it, you should check it out. But it's Tyreek Hill and the incident before the game with the Miami Police Department where he was detained and then went out, played the game, balled out, man. Had a great game. 7 receptions for 130 yards, a touchdown. That was shocking.
Yeah.
I want to know there's so much to dive into on this. So many different ways to approach this and angles. I want to give you the floor first. What do you think? You know, thoughts, break it down. Let's get into this one.
Yeah, it's things like that, I have to say, are not uncommon anymore, right? Like, we've seen this happen in so many different instances. And to say that it is disappointing or upsetting would be an understatement, because you see the way that he was treated.
Yes.
And it's disgusting. It is disheartening. And there really should be no reason for police officers to behave in that manner, right? Now, all that being said, I think that what we can do is we can continue to look at things from one perspective, which we've seen over and over and over and over and over again.
Yes.
Or we can look at things from a broader perspective.
Okay.
And not understand, but try to think through things in a completely different manner, right? So here's what we saw. We can stop the condemnation from where they pulled him out of the vehicle and they mishandled and mistreated him. We can start from right there, right? And things look one way. But what if you go a little further before that, right? What if at some point we look at the things that led to that?
Okay.
Given the situation, and given the environment, and given the things that we've seen so many times before, there is a way that you have to behave once cops pull you over to avoid a lot of the situations that we saw unfold, right? Is it right? No, but still. Apparently, this man was driving Tyreek Hill, who we know had dinner with, great guy, had a great conversation
great
with him.
Great guy.
Was driving over 100 miles an hour in a 40, 50 mile per hour zone. Dangerous thing to do.
This is what they said.
This is what they said. Got pulled over. The guy was trying to get him to wind his window down. He didn't do it. He has this tinted glass, right? We have to take responsibility for those actions. And the one thing that he did say was, what if I wasn't Tyreek Hill?
Yep.
He said that, right? Being Tyreek Hill also comes with a sense of entitlement. And the reason why I say that is because I have been that player. I have been in that particular situation. I have carried myself in a way, because being a superstar player for a multi-billion dollar organization, it gives you this warped sense of entitlement, man. And you start to carry yourself in a way that the ordinary person really shouldn't. I'll give you an example. When I was playing for the Giants, you know, Pro Bowl player, All-Pro player, contract, all that type of stuff. On our way to the stadium, there was a back way that you could take, right? Now, some of the times it would be full of traffic. And you know, I cannot stand being late, J-Bell.
No, you can't.
Can't stand it. Here's what I would do. You know the shoulder, the side of the road, where emergency vehicles are supposed to go, sometimes pedestrians are walking?
Don't tell me.
Jason, this is not like, if there was traffic, J-Bell, I will pull my Bentley over to the side and drive down, J-Bell, I would drive down the shoulder to get to the stadium, J-Bell.
Yeah.
I'm OC. I'm on my way to the stadium, man. Yeah. Police pulls me over. I'm be like, hey, listen.
Got a game.
I got a game. And I even had the PBA card, the police officer's card, that I'll show, be like, here. And they just let me scot-free. Entitlement. Mm. What if somebody was on the side of the road? What if emergency vehicles needed to get by, right? I wasn't thinking about all of that. And Tyreek, unfortunately, wasn't thinking about the repercussions of his actions when he decided to do all those things. That doesn't excuse the police officers.
and the despicable way in which they behaved. Mm-hmm. But we also have to take personal accountability and not do things that antagonize people that are already antagonized, J-Bell.
Yeah. Because if you're in that situation, and it is the wrong person that is abusing their power, now you're subjugated to their behavior. And we know one thing about power. It's not for everyone.
Yep.
Some people can't handle it. Officers are civil servants. And there comes a sense of control where you're in a situation, it's escalating, you got to be calm. You have a gun on your hip. You got everything in the world to damage or hurt someone. You have to have a sense of control, a sense of calm. That did not take place.
Yeah.
And that's why they are going to be held accountable, because you have to, because you have to stop this behavior from happening again. However we got there, you make very good, strong points. You can't have people in power that behave like that. You know what is fascinating to me? All this happened, and sad to say, used to seeing stuff like that occur. You go out there and you put on the performance that Tyreek Hill had. And the first thing I thought was, you painted a great picture of driving to a game. We've all done that. We've all had different emotions trying to get to a game, what we're thinking about. You're locked in. Something throws that off. It's kind of, it messes you up.
Yeah.
The traffic. I got to get there, yeah. You know? Imagine you're pulling up to the stadium, first game, and all you're hearing is this chatter. Did you hear what happened to Tyreek? Tyreek done it. That moves through the locker room like a virus.
Mm.
Now, all of our preparation, how we got to get ready, it's all thrown off, right? Like everybody, top to bottom. The fact that they went in, handled that, got it together, inked out a tough win, it says a lot about them.
Yep.
As individuals, the people that were Tyreek and his teammates, other people that were put in handcuffs, you know, Calais Campbell was one of them.
Jonnu Smith.
Yep. They go out there and they figure out how to now switch and perform.
Yeah.
There's so many people in life that have to do that, OC. Something happens in their day that disrupts their flow, that challenges what they have to do. But guess what? All those fans, what did they expect from the Dolphins?
Mm.
Performance.
Yep.
To your point earlier about Daniel Jones and the fans, they expected Tyreek to do what Tyreek did. He went out there and balled.
Yep.
That right there is that to me is what I love about this game. That's that what happened? That's disturbing, crazy, wild. The fact that they transition into now let's go do this and then get on the podium and deal with that after? Head coach, wide receiver? I don't think I've seen anything like that.
Mm. Heavy.
That to me is something I look at and I go, you know what? Every year we're trying to chase an identity in the NFL. Starting off like that, I think that gives you a chance as a team.
I hear you, man. I agree. 100%. That was really, really something, the way they handled that situation. And good luck to them going forward.
Good luck to them going forward, man. I'm always interested in your point of view, OC. You spark a lot of thoughts in the NFL week one. Everybody's panicking about their team, yep. Win or loss. But I like to think about money.
Mm. Big time money.
I like to think about money in, as far as investing is concerned. And one thing, we were talking about owners before and, you know, why they pay players and all that kind of stuff. You want to see a return on your investment.
Yeah.
Like, think about it. You pay somebody, you want to see it. You want to see the action.
Mm.
Like the story with you, where they were about to pay you and they wanted to see some action from you, right?
Yep.
You know, so you had to go out and make a play
and perform
against one of the best tackles in the game, Walter
Jones
from Seattle when he was balling. So, Before the game, Dak Prescott gets his deal done.
Ho chalupa.
He gets the bag. 4 year, $240 million.
Mm.
230 guaranteed. And he jogged out with the all whites.
Oof. He let him know.
And when he did that jog, I said, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's time.
It's about to go down. Mm. Him, CeeDee Lamb, both getting paid, going out there, performing like that. What are your thoughts on Dak, CD, Dallas as a whole?
First, let's talk about the paycheck.
Yeah.
The big money. There's a very interesting story about Jerry Jones that I don't think a lot of people know, that I feel like now would be the appropriate time to tell.
Give us the story.
I don't know if you saw the, there was a social media guy from the Washington Commanders who got fired. And he was saying like a bunch of—
What did he do?
He was just saying some nonsense.
Talking
he was
talking reckless?
About, he said Jerry Jones doesn't like black players and blah, 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 blah.
What?
I want to tell a story about Jerry Jones, right? One of my greatest friends is a guy by the name of DeMarcus Ware.
Played college together.
Rode the bus in high school together.
And went, I forgot you guys went to high school together.
High school, college. Me and him have been good friends since we were like, he was like 13.
Mm-hmm.
So DeMarcus is one of the best players in football.
Ball.
Right? Me and DeMarcus also have the same financial advisor, mm-hmm. Chris Cole,
mm-hmm.
down in Birmingham. I called Chris Cole once, right? This is a true story. I called Chris Cole and Chris picks up the phone and there's like music in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Chris doesn't party.
Yeah, you like, well,
so I'm like,
what
is
doing?
This? He's like, yeah, I'm at a party right now. I'm like, you're at a party? He's like, yeah, I'm at a party with DeMarcus. You're at a party with DeMarcus? He was like, yeah, that Jerry Jones just made DeMarcus Ware the highest paid defensive player in the league. And after that, he threw him a party to celebrate
for taking his money.
Jason, at this time, I'm going through a contract dispute.
You like they throw you a party? I can't get to.
Like what? I'm like, what?
I'm on the wrong bus.
he made this guy the highest paid player in football and threw him a
and
party.
And celebrated. Here you go.
And celebrates him giving him this money. I said, God, if anybody says a negative word about Jerry Jones, you and I are going to have a problem. Who does that?
Man, that's what I'm saying.
Ridiculous.
Oh.
Now, back to the points.
Oh, gosh. I'm sweating.
So he makes Dak Prescott the highest paid player in NFL history. And Dak Prescott immediately goes out there with the Dallas Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb, and they perform at that level.
Yeah.
This is the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
This is the thing that it's supposed to do, J-Bell.
It was so impressive because we talked about Cleveland's defense, right? Mm. This was what this is what they lean on. And they went out there and they had a dominant performance.
Yeah.
They started fast, especially when you think CeeDee Lamb wasn't in camp, but boom, hitting on all cylinders. And that's what you want to see, a return on investment. On the flip side, though, when you look at the Browns, they are getting no return on their investment with Deshaun Watson. I mean, he was sacked six times, but he, back in the day.
Yeah.
don't
do it. Don't do it.
Before Christ.
Three.
In the Old Testament, Deshaun Watson.
let's be fair.
Yeah.
Let's be fair here, Jay.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
He had a it factor about his game, right? It seemed like you could lean on, it wasn't looking right, then there's a play.
Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness, he made it right. That no longer exists.
Something has left his body. Something has left his body. He is no longer. J-Bell, he is no. I don't know what this
we're
is.
We're laughing because it's hilarious.
I don't know what this is, Jason. If you're the Cleveland Browns, right? And you give that man a $230 million guarantee, right? If you're basing that contract off of the Deshaun Watson that you saw in the Houston Texans, then of course you do that. Like,
right.
Of course you. Of course you do that because there can be no way in their mind that they can actually put what they're seeing now and what they've seen from this man in high school, college, and his first couple of years in Houston. You can't equate the two. So I don't fault the Cleveland Browns for paying him that amount of money, right? Mm-hmm. I fought Deshaun Watson because I don't know what is going on here, J-Bell. This doesn't make any sense.
I fought Cleveland.
Okay.
Look at Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
I mean, a theme a little bit of what we're talking about, pure accident, is like the decisions that teams make with players.
Okay.
Right? You got this man in the building. Everything about the quarterback position is culture.
Okay.
Do we believe? Do we follow? Look at what Baker is doing in Tampa.
Mm.
After Tom Brady, you go in there, you get another deal. They're following you, playing well. This might go down as the worst contract in NFL history.
Yeah, it will.
It will?
I'm not sure yet.
You think he can bounce back?
Jay Bell,
I'm panicking.
Jason, he was so good. He was so good. You can't tell me that he's become this bad. I find it so hard to believe. And if you look at what Cleveland did with Joe Flacco, they performed with how old is Joe? Like 40? Like what is that?
Because they believed in him.
Yeah.
They believed, they wanted to play for him. It's that position, there's a reason they get the captain on their chest and they don't even have to be voted it. It's because we follow that position. We believe in you. We want to play hard. Yeah. We want to get you the ball back on defense, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting. I'm not trying to push the panic button for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's week one, but my goodness, you saw one side, one owner was like, I spent that money well. Mm-hmm. The other one,
upsets.
Nah, buddy. Welcome to our pick segment powered by 888 Sport, the official partner of the NFL UK and Ireland. And here we go this week. OC, are you ready?
Yes, I am, J-Bell.
First up, we have the Bills at the Dolphins.
At the Dolphins, tough place to play, J-Bell. I'm going the Dolphins. It gets hot down there in Miami, J-Bell.
OC, I hear you on that, but I'm going with Superman himself, Josh Allen, for the upset in Miami.
Okay.
Next up, we got the Vikings at the 49ers.
Vikings coming off an impressive victory against the lowly New York Giants. Going to the 49ers, they're going to get punched in the mouth. I got the 49ers winning this one.
I'm rolling with the 49ers also. Just a better team, more complete. Then we have the Bengals at the Chiefs. This is spicy.
That is a good game. The Bengals going 0-2. They're going to lose to the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs.
Burrow versus Mahomes. Man, Kansas City looked too good. They're going to get this win. And then we have the Bears at the Texans. Mm. I know you liked Caleb Williams last week.
He only had like 90-some yards, man. That defense did the heavy lifting, man. And I got the Houston Texans smothering Caleb Williams, bringing him back down to earth. I got the Texans winning this one.
The Texans looked so complete. That team was on fire. I'm rolling with them also. And then finally, the Falcons at the Eagles on Monday night.
Fly, Eagles. Yeah, but I got the Eagles winning this one, man.
I'm going with the Eagles also, and you need to head over to 888 Sport to check out all the odds. And remember, 18 plus, and always gamble responsibly. Thank you, everyone, for listening and watching the Jason and OC podcast. Please subscribe. Check us out on all the social platforms.
Love our fans, J-Bell. We got to give a special shout out to our fans, man. Man, we love y'all.
We appreciate all the love. Till next week.